Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Again, I hope that you are somewhat familiar with Les Miserables. As a long-running musical written by Andrew Lloyd Webber, my introduction to the story actually came from listening to the music. I knew the music and the songs well before I had ever seen the musical or knew anything about the story. But here is a story that was originally written in a novel by Victor Hugo in 1862. Some have regarded this novel as the greatest novel of the 19th century and one of the greatest novels ever written, period. It's long and it's very deep and involved, very involved story. For us, ADD types, a musical or a movie is helpful as it gets to the heart of a very beautiful message and story. The Broadway musical is a powerful display of art and song and can be a little hard to follow because when you watch the movie or you go to the musical, all the dialogue is sung. I don't know if you would like it if one day I would just, you know, sing the whole sermon. I don't know. Well, the musical movie. I don't know if you want me to do that, but it sometimes can be a little hard to follow. And if you're not into musical movies, as I know some people are not, Perry Brown, probably not your favorite. Probably not going to be your favorite film. At least this version. But this musical movie version came out in 2012. Won some Academy Awards. I think for Best Supporting Actress. It was nominated for several others. And this version of the movie musical kind of helped decipher some of the powerful themes of the story. Most agree that the story of God and the comparison of law versus grace are on full display in this story. Now, Hugo's depiction of the suffering of the working class and the poor is also put on display. The pain and anguish experienced by the poor becomes a major plot as the story is set during the years of a revolution, where there is the collision of political and social systems, and it came to a head and eventually led to the abolishment of the French monarchy later on. In the musical movie, Jean Valjean is the protagonist. He's the hero. He's the good guy. He was a prisoner who was sent to jail for stealing some bread for his starving niece. Given a 5-year sentence, the term was increased when he was caught trying to escape. So we meet Valjean as he finishes his 19-year, nearly 20-year term of hard labor in prison. He is an individual with superhero-type physical strength, but emotionally, he is a tortured soul who is filled with so much anger. His key nemesis is Javert, a tough, law-abiding policeman who seems set on making sure that Valjean and other prisoners pay for their sins and their transgressions. Now, as the story goes, Valjean is released from prison on parole, but given strict provisions not to violate any part of his parole, or he faced the wrath of Javert and the legal system. Now, as a recently released prisoner during a time of economic turmoil, there is really no resources that would enable a recently released prisoner to do well, to get by. He couldn't live a normal life in society. He is constantly turned away from working opportunities. He is starving and he is desperate. And that's when a kind clergyman reaches out to Valjean. He invites Valjean to come in from the cold and gives him safe harbor. In the film, we see immediately that Valjean seems to struggle with the kindness, and that leads him to making some plans to rob this kind bishop of his precious silver. And leave to experience at least a little bit of fortune. Now, for me, when I first watched the musical and certainly when I watched the film, that became a pivotal scene for me. That seemed to set the stage for the unfolding of the rest of the plot, certainly as it applies to what we're going to talk about today. Valjean robs the bishop of his silver, and he is caught by the police with the stolen goods, and he's brought back to the bishop. So I want to play that scene. Last week, technology didn't work for us, but today I'm hoping that it will. Want to play this scene where he's taken in and he's fed. This is Valjean. You'll see Valjean slopping on some food in just a second. And then you'll see him rob the bishop, and then when he's caught, bringing it back.
Bless the food we eat today. Bless our dear sister and our honored guest.
Red-handed. Hear the nerve to say you gave him this.
That is right. But my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind.
You forgot.
I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind?
Monsieur, release him. This man has spoken true.
I commend you for your duty. Now God's blessing go with you. But remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have saved your soul for
What have I done, sweet Jesus? What have I done? Become a thief in the night, become a dog on the run. Have I fallen so far, and is the hour so late that nothing remains but the cry of my hate? The cries in the dark that nobody hears. Here where I stand at the turning of the years. If there's another way to go, I missed it 20 long years ago. My life was a war that could never be won. They gave me a number and they murdered Valjean when they chained me and left me for dead. Just for stealing a mouthful of bread. Yet why did I allow this man to touch my soul and teach me love? He treated me like any other. He gave me his trust. He called me brother. My life he claims for God above. Can such things be? For I had come to hate the world. This world that always hated me. Take an eye for an eye. Turn your heart into stone. This is all I have lived for. This is all I am now. One word from him and I'd be back beneath the lash upon the rack. Instead, he offers me my freedom. I feel my shame inside me like a knife. He told me that I have a soul. How does he know what spirit comes to move my life? Is there another way to go? I am reaching, but I fall, and the night is closing in. As I stare into the void, to the whirlpool of my sin, I'll escape now from that world, from the world of Jean Valjean. Jean Valjean is nothing now.
And yes, the backdrop of this is France, but everyone has English accents. I can't explain that. This is a pivotal scene for me, or again, as Lee says, it relates to the mission of God and our participation in it. You see, from that point, things change. Jean Valjean becomes a reputable businessman and the mayor of a small town. He is respected by many. It seems as if his influence in the community is solid. He was redeemed by the bishop and has put in place a lifestyle of paying it forward, if you will. And this newfound attitude would be put on display throughout the story as he interacts with a desperate mother named Fantine. And this woman works to care for a daughter who is in the care of another family, and her situation grows more dire, and her story plays out. She eventually dies, but but not before Valjean promises to care, to find that child and to care for her. And that's how the story plays out. He finds the daughter and then they grow up. And that's the story that you see played out throughout the film. Valjean was all but dead, but the bishop, who was rich in mercy, extended the gift of life. What we don't see in the film that I'm told is in the novel is that there's a part where the bishop is in his study and he's just looking at the different names of God. And he comes to one name that he focuses on, mercy. And in French, Les Miserables and the French word for mercy, they're similar. But he focuses on mercy, and we then see throughout this story that it's mercy being extended and lived out and played out. You see, the bishop understood and received the mercy of God, and he didn't hoard it for himself. He extended it. He extended grace and mercy to strangers and to someone who often we don't think is worthy to receive such grace and mercy. And what Valjean does throughout the remainder of this film is that he begins to extend grace and mercy to strangers, to loved ones, and even his enemies. There came an opportunity in the film where Valjean faced off against his enemy Javert and could have shot him dead for all the misery he felt brought him. But Valjean even extended grace and mercy to his enemy. You see, church, that's what redemption looks like when it's multiplied. But this summation is not to ignore another deep plot that played throughout the film. Valjean was quick to offer redemption to others, but continued to struggle with his own redemption. The shame and the stigma that came with all that he had done seemed to stick with him throughout his entire life. Now, isn't it interesting that we in the church often believe in the salvation of others more than we believe in our own salvation? And we're harder on ourselves than sometimes we even are on others. We believe that God can do amazing things in the lives of others, but hesitant to believe that God can do amazing things in our own lives. That's what brings us back to the Ephesian passage that I read earlier. You see, Paul makes a demonstrative case that those reading and listening to this letter were people who found themselves covered in the blessing of God. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul mentions several attributes that pertain to believers and being blessed by God. And in chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul says that God chose us. And in chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says that God adopted us. And in verse 6, freely God has given us grace. And in verse number 7, God has forgiven us of our sins. And in verse number 9, God made known to us the mystery of his will. In verse number 13, God included us with Christ. In verse number 13, God has marked us with a seal, the Holy Spirit. Do you see that God is trying to, or that Paul is trying to make sure that the people listening and reading this letter understand that they live in a host of blessing, that they are covered with so many incredible spiritual blessings found in Jesus Christ. He continues to express this blessedness throughout the Ephesian letter. In chapter 2, as we just read, verses 4 through 5, God has made us alive. While we were dead in our transgressions and our sins, the blessing that God gives us is that he has made made us alive. In verse number 8 of chapter 2, we are saved by grace. In chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, we have peace. In chapter 4, in verse 4, we have been called into one hope. In chapter 5, in verse 8, we have been called out of darkness into light. That's a way of saying we've been called out of ignorance into knowledge. In chapter 6, in verse 10 through 18, God has equipped us with everything we need to fight our real enemy, and that real enemy is the devil. This comes from a God who is rich. He is rich in mercy and has great love for us. This comes from a God who sees our depravity, our disillusionment, our depression, and our dependence on corrupt systems, our daily dealings in debauchery. God, who is rich in mercy, sees our poverty, our problems, and our participation in violent remedies that add to the perpetuation of the brokenness that has seemed to seize our world. You see, God saw that we were dead and he made us alive by his grace. He saved us by his grace. We didn't earn it. We couldn't buy it. We were given it and we are saved by grace and created anew in the grace of God to be his beautiful creation. Back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, work or workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That God prepared in advance for us to do is to say that since the dawn of creation, God has had a plan to use us in the redemption plan of mankind. That's why when we are redeemed, we assert ourselves in the redemption story of others. Valjean inserted himself into the redemption story of Fantine and Cosette and Marius and Javert. When you realize fully that the grace of God has saved you, grace overcomes you and becomes you. If anyone should know the power of a pardon, it should be the church, because we have been pardoned by grace. Amen. If anyone should know the power of forgiveness, it should be the church, because haven't we been forgiven by grace? You can say amen if you want to. If anyone knows the power of a second and a third and a fourth, and some of us, I've raised my hand, I'm on like 835,000 chance. If anyone knows the power of having all of those chances and knowing that God redeems us by his grace, it should be the church. Amen. If anyone knows the power of mercy, it should be the church. If anyone knows the power of a redemption story, and if anyone should have a redemption story, and if you don't know your redemption story, you need to learn it, you need to repeat it, you need to rehearse it, and you need to tell somebody about it, because that is the power of redemption lived out in our lives. And so in the current societal context of pain and disillusionment, violence, division, political unrest, poverty, sickness, the church ought to be on the front lines espousing a message of redemption. Redemption ought to be multiplied over and over again. You see, a missional movement, the one I have been suggesting we embrace, is a movement that flows out of an experience of redemption. Saved people are concerned about others being saved. Saved people are concerned with the redemption story of God. Saved people are so enthralled with redemption that they cannot hold back the excitement of seeing others experience redemption. Perhaps the key to the story of the film is that due to a powerful expression of grace and mercy on the part of the bishop, Valjean becomes a new man, yet continues to struggle with that new identity as he fights with that old man. We see that played out in Scripture. Paul in Romans chapter 7, he talks about that fight, that old man versus the new man, that old woman versus the new woman, that old creation versus the new creation. He wrestles with that new identity and tries to run away from his old identity, but he finds himself being caught with that old identity over and over. That's a very real emotion and a very, very real plight. And many of us here struggle with letting go of what we used to be. But as sure as God is alive, he has us here alive by his grace and mercy. And we are his handiwork, or his workmanship. That's from an interesting Greek word, poema, where we get our English word poem. Yes, we are God's beautiful creation. As broken and as disturbed and as disillusioned or out of touch that we might think that we are, God says, you're my beauty. You're my poem. It's like Jay was reading my notes, and he goes to another film where this maid has to help drill into this young girl that she's beautiful, and that she's smart, and that she's valuable. I believe that's what God is telling each and every one of us. As much as we fight and battle with the old man or the old woman, that there is some beauty in us that God is determined to use in the redemption plan of this earth. We are his workmanship, chosen to participate in the renewal of the damaged creation through a redemption story. Church, we have been called to multiply redemption. As sure as I am standing here with a striped shirt on, I'm sure that next week, next month, next year, we're going to see images on the television that's going to horrify us. We're going to see the damage that's done with war and division and fighting and violence. We're going to continue to see people talking past each other and not talking to each other. That is a symptom, church, of brokenness. You know, I attended the funeral of the young boy who passed away, part of La Gracia. And I've been to many funerals. I've never been to the funeral of a child before. And I have to tell you, it was a first for me. It was rough. I normally can walk right up to the casket, say a goodbye. Church, I couldn't go up to the casket. I just couldn't do it. It's just too hard. The fact that we have parents who are losing their children, church, that's a symptom of brokenness. Do we understand that we have a world that lives in brokenness? But here's the hope. That even in the midst of brokenness, God is determined to write a redemption story. Now, I don't know what the redemption story is going to be in a tragedy like that. I don't know what the redemption story is going to be when we're looking at kids dying on beaches in Europe. I don't know what the redemption story is going to be as we see black people and white people fighting with each other about differences. I don't know what the redemption story is going to be, but this is my hope, this is my faith, and this is what I believe to be true, that God wants to use the church on the front lines to write that redemption story. It's time for us to stop sitting back and just watching. It's time for us to act like that bishop. It's one of the best things that bishop said to Valjean was brother. Inclusion. He gave grace. He gave mercy. He showed love. When it comes to grace, mercy, and love, I'm not expecting the president to be I'm not expecting the agency. I'm not expecting the state. I'm expecting the church to be on the front lines. And when people says, what are you trying to give to me? Grace, mercy, and love. Because I believe in redemption. I believe that redemption is going to change some things in our society. I believe that redemption is going to change some things in our church. I believe that redemption is going to change some things in our home. I believe that redemption is going to change some things in me. It's a redemption story. And we've been called to multiply redemption. And that's my prayer for this church. That's my prayer for the kingdom of God all over. No matter what your context is, let's multiply redemption. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your pursuit of us, grace, mercy, and love. We thank you for making us alive, even when we were dead, no hope. You rescued us. You resurrected us. And you have saved us by your grace. God, we are ever so thankful. And in expressing our gratitude and our thanks to you, we not only come together and sing praises of faith and praise and assurance, we commit to participate in this redemption story by multiplying redemption. Father, there are so many instances in our society, in our world, that needs the entrance of a redemption story. Father, as you have given us a deposit, a guarantee, your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lead us by your Holy Spirit to be agents, to be ambassadors, to be the embodiment of your redemption plan. And Father, may we represent your intent to redeem, to renew, and to reconcile. Thank you for how media, films, and novels help to stir our consciousness in some of these ideas. Father, we are not foolish to think that these films or movies or books can replace Scripture or your Spirit, but we thank you that they're helpful in helping us to understand our mission and our calling in Jesus Christ. So thank you for the story of redemption. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing the invitation song, there is a fountain free. May that be a truth that we live and express through all that we do. If there is someone in your life that you know are in need of a redemptive participation on your part, pray to God that he would use you. Don't ask God to send someone up. Ask God to use you in their redemptive story. And maybe you find yourself like the bishop. Maybe you find yourself like Valjean. Maybe you find yourself like some of these characters who are determined to multiply redemption. If God is making you a better woman, making you a better man, I'm praying that you don't hoard that to yourself, but that you would share that with everyone you come into contact with. If there's anything that we can do for you as a body, pray for you, or read with you, study with you, if you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ, to make a profession of faith, and say yes to the grace of God, and you want to do that today, we will accommodate that. So let's stand and let's sing.